The parsha of the Mekoshesh Eitzim is probably one of the most confusing and difficult parshas that we have in the Torah. What's the episode of the Mekoshesh doing over there? What's the conversation? What did he do wrong? The whole thing is confusing. So I want to talk about one halachic sugya that comes out of the Mekoshesh, which is, why did he do what he did, and was he allowed to do what he did based on what Chazal tell us? I'm just going to, sof ma'aseh b'machshavah tchila. We're going to end up with more questions than we have answers. So usually we try to bring everything together in a nice little bow at the end of this year. I'm just letting you know from the outset, we're going to end up with more questions at the end, and maybe somebody will have a chiddush that answers everything. But let's jump into it. The pasuk says, "Vayu b'nei Yisrael b'midbar, b'yimtzu ish mekoshesh eitzim b'yom haShabbos." B'nei Yisrael were in the desert, and they found, lo and behold, a man who was being mekoshesh. He was gathering wood on Shabbos. The whole pasuk requires, explanation. Wouldn't they, all of a sudden, the guy came out of nowhere? The whole thing is odd. So Tosfos in Bava Basra Kuf Yutes explains the background of this episode. The background on why it's in Bava Basra is because Bava Basra in Perek Yesh Nochlim is talking about the halachos of Yerusha and Nachala. And we know that one of the primary cases of inheritance in Nachala is the case of Benos Tzalafchad, and whether they were able to be Yoresh, and the laws work regarding inheritance. And Chazal tell us that the Mekoshesh was Tzalafchad. So in that regard, Tosos makes the following point. U'maisa Mekoshesh haya b'tchilas arbim. Now Tosos says that in his opinion, the episode of the Mekoshesh was actually in the beginning of the 40 years, miyad achar maisa meraglim, right after the episode of the Meraglim of the spies in this week's Parsha. Damar b'Medrash, the Medrash says, D'l'shem Shemaim Niskaven, he actually acted for the right reasons and for righteous reasons. Shayu Omrim Yisrael, because the Jewish people said after that episode of the spies, came in Shenigzar Aleim Sholi Kanes La'aretz, since it was already established by God and decreed that we would not enter into the land, Mimaisim Meraglim, because of the actions of the spies, Shuv'ein Mechuyavin B'mitzos, maybe we don't have to keep mitzvos anymore. What's the purpose of not making it to Eretz Yisrael? This is tied to the well-known Ramban in Parshas Achrimos Kedoshim. The Ramban says the main idea of mitzvos is to perform them in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvos outside of Eretz Yisrael only really practice, so to speak, when we were able to get to Israel to do the mitzvos. So said the Jewish people, if I'm not going to make it to Israel anyway, and there's no chance of getting there, it's been decreed, so what do you have to keep the mitzvos for in the Midbar? Amad v'chilel Shabbos. So Chazal say the Mekoshesh got up, and he purposely desecrated Shabbos, kidei sheyahareg, so that he would be killed, v'yiru achem, and others would learn from that, and to know what? That they were still responsible to keep the Torah in the desert. That's one approach to the reasons behind his actions. Let's look at the Targum Yonasan on our pasuk in Bamidbar Perek Tesvav. The Targum Yonasan ben Uziel says as follows, v'havim b'nei Yisrael shurayin b'midbara. And B'nai Yisrael were encamped in the desert. Gzeira Shabbasa Ishtamuda Lahon. And the laws of Shabbos was known to them. Baram Kansa de Shabbasa Lo Ishtamuda Lahon. But the punishment of Shabbos was not yet known to them. They knew they had to keep Shabbos, but they didn't know what the punishment was for not keeping Shabbos. Kam Gavra de Beis Yosef. A man from the house of Yosef got up. Amar B'memra. And he said that we were taught, Aziel v'italush, I will go and I will pick kisin, wood. I will gather wood on Shabbos. B'yoma de Shabbasa. And then, v'yachmen yasahadi, they will see me with Edom, with witnesses. V'yisnon, and they will go and tell Lemoshe. U'moshe yispa ulfin min kadam Hashem. And Moshe will ask the halacha from God. V'yidon yasi, and they will judge me. U'v'chein ishtamu de knasa, and they will now know the punishment. L'kol beis Yisrael, the entire house of Israel. V'ishkachu, and they will find sahadi, witnesses. Yas gavra, against this man. Kadtalish, when he was gathering. V'akar, and picking up kis in the wood. B'yomat Shabbasa, on the day of Shabbos. Now that medrash as well has a lot of questions we don't have time for right now. But again, what do we see? With intent, he went to Mimachal Shabbos to teach a lesson. Now according to both the Midrashim, Targum Yonasan, which we'll consider a medrash, and the medrash Rabbi Tosos, the Chazal understand the actions of the Mekoshes were bikavana, on purpose. He knew what he was doing. He was aware, and he was trying to teach a lesson. What that lesson is debated between the Medrash and the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, but he was trying to teach a lesson. What I want to say over tonight is a beautiful piece of a halach, and we're going to add some ideas of our own from the Sefer Hadrash Va'ian. Who's Hadrash Va'ian? Rav Aaron Levine, Rabbi Aaron Lewin. Rav Aaron Levine was known as the Rav of Risha, the Risher Rav. He was a leader in the Agudas Yisrael before the Holocaust. He was killed, al Kiddush Hashem, in the Holocaust, at the very beginning of the war in Poland. And he was a fantastic Talmid Chacham. He learned from his grandfather, and we'll quote him in a moment, Rav Yitzchak Shmelkus, the author of the Beis Yitzchak. And he was a very worldly Talmid Chacham. He knew how to speak Polish and Russian and German, a bunch of languages as well. And he, unfortunately, again, did not survive the Holocaust. He was left this beautiful Sefer Chumash Hadrash Va'ian, a number of the Shas and Shuvas as well, and other Sfarim. He, I think, is probably most famous in America because his grandson is Nat Lewin, the lawyer. That's the lawyer who acts on behalf of Jewish causes in front of the Supreme Court. So Mr. Lewin is the Reish Rav's grandson. I think Nat Lewin was born in Europe when his parents were still there, and he made it to America. So we're going to say over Mahalach that the Reish Rav brings in the Drashvian. Yeah.
According to these midrashim, if you accept them, isn't that clearly, it's something which is not done for its purpose.
Yeah. On Shabbos?
Yeah.
Ah, you want to say it's a melacha shen tzricha l'gufa. Good. Okay, so you already reached to the end of the what we want to say. Very good. Keep that in mind, and we're going to come back to that. Excellent. So let's see what Rav Aaron Levine says. In the Drash of Ian, he says the Targum does seem to make more sense than Tosfos' Medrash, because it addresses why the specific aveir that he chose to do was in the realm of Chil Shabbos. Let's say agree that he wanted to make a point. But why did he have to make a point in the realm of Chil Shabbos? It also happens to fit with the Sifri. The Sifri says that the event took place on the second Shabbos after the events of Marah. And therefore, the new Isser of Shabbos, they didn't know. And they knew, but they didn't know the punishment that came with it. It made sense that it was at that point in time where they were lacking this information. The problem, obviously, that it raises, though, is that the Mekoshesh could not have then been Tzalafchad, according to this Targum Yonasan, because the Torah says that Salafchad was alive at the time of the events of Korach. So you have to kind of pick which Medrash you want to go with here. If it's the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel, it can't be the Medrash, because the Medrash assumes that he was alive at the time of Korach. Anyway, the main issue we want to discuss tonight is how to understand the fact that this man did a terrible Aveira, knowing that he would be killed, in order to teach a halacha to other people. That's crazy. It's a crazy thing that we would never accept nowadays. The Gemara, in the beginning of Shabbos, Daf Dalet, famously teaches us that we do not say, Chatei Kadeshi is Kechavercha. We don't allow you to do an Aveira in order to help your friend out. That's not something that the Halacha generally allows. And even in cases where we do sometimes allow it, it's only by an Isser Kal, by a small Aveira, not Chil Shabbos in public. That's a big Aveira. We're not talking about small stuff over here, in order to save somebody else from something more severe. Let's look at the Gemara in Erev and Daf Lamed Beis. Rebbe Sava. Yeah. Correct, but we're going to flesh it out. Rebbe Sava. Rebbe Yudah Nasi holds. Nichale lechaber de la'avid hu isura, kalila, velo la'avad am ha'aretz isura rabba. It's preferable that a chaver, a Talmid Chacham, commit a minor aveira. Now, the Gemara is talking about taking meiser on produce that's not next to the thing. You're really supposed to take meiser on produce that they're all in the same area, in the same realm. Here, the Gemara says, better he should do it not in the same realm, to save an amaretz who's going to commit a major aveira of eating tevel, something that he didn't take trumas and meiser from. That's what the Gemara in Erevin says. Now, what's the logic to allow Chil Shabbos to cause oneself to be killed in Beis Din in order to teach people a halacha? In addition, even if one were to argue that you can do an Isra Kal, let's say you can do a minor Aveira in order to save someone from an Isra Cham or a very terrible Aveira, that's only where we have the Din of Arvas, where we have the halacha of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zela Zeh, where each Jew is legally responsible for the well-being and the spiritual well-being
of another Jew. He cites his grandfather. He says, look in the Tshuva space, Yitzchak or Chaim Simon Yud Ches. Let's look at what Rav Yitzchak Shmalkus writes. V'da demereish dedavar chadash hazeh shekasvu hatir tzehecha delo pasa omrim says the Beis Yitzchak, the whole concept of chatei kadesh yizka chavercha, that do a sin in order that your friend should be saved from a greater sin, that is mitam arvus. It's based on the principle of kol yisrael rei mizel hazeh. V'kevin shechavero chai b'mitzvah, since your friend chais in the mitzvah, afhu muzar mitam arvus. He's also responsible as well. That's why this is allowed to work. So says the Drash Vayin, at the time of the Mekoshesh, was there any concept of Kol Yisrael Arim Zel Azeh? He says, no. The concept of Arvus only existed at the end of 40 years. The events of Har Gerizim and Har Eval. That whole episode of the curses and the blessings on the mountains, as Chazal teach us, was the moment where every Jew became responsible for one another. So there was no concept of Arvus at this point in time. This is what Rashi says in Parshas Nitzavim very clearly. And therefore, since the events of the Mekoshesh took place before Har Gerizim, so says Rav Aaron Levine, there was no din of Arvus, and therefore there was no concept of Chatei Kadei Shizka Chavir, that he could do an Aveira to save the Jewish people. So then he says we could debate this. He says, if you look at my piece in Parshas Bechukosai, which we're not going to see right now, but he says that the Chizuk of Arvus, the strengthening of responsibility with a Shavua, with an oath, that's what occurred at Har Gerizim and Har Eval at the end of 40 years. But the concept of Arvus itself, that one Jew should be responsible for one another, that occurred at Kabbalah Satorah at Har Sinai. And if so, it alleviates part of the problem, but it doesn't deal with the fact that what? That he did something that was way more severe than an Isser Kal. He did Chil Shabbos Barabim. How can he do such a thing? Then he says another point. It is better to save your friend from an Aveira. Is it better to save your friend from an Aveira than to save them from death? Certainly, he says, there's a chiyuv on each person to save another Jew from possible death. How do we know that? The pasuk says, lo samod al dam reyach. You cannot stand idly by while your brother's blood is spilled. Look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, daf ayin gimel. Minayin lo roes chaveru shehu tovea benar. Where do I know if I see my friend drowning in the river? Chai goreres, an animal chasing after him. Listen, boy, in a love, a robber's coming to harm him. Shehu chai vlatzil, you have to save him. Tamalomar, lo samod al dam reyach. Fine, so I have to know, I have to save somebody who is in danger. And this is side la halachim shochan archim choshim mishpat. But Tosus in Yevamos writes, and daf and dal, that if a person is going to put himself in danger to save another Jew, there's no chiyuv to save him. You don't have to, if you're going to get eaten by the lion, I don't have to stop that guy from eating the lion. I don't have to be the bait to save the other person. That's not my responsibility. We generally say, chayecha kodmin. Your life comes before another person, and therefore, I don't have to jump in front of the lion to save my friend who's going to be eaten by a lion. And the Sma there in Shulchan Aruch discusses whether one should put themselves in danger for suffix sakana. What if I think I can handle the lion? I can wrestle the lion. He might get me, I might get him. It's me and the lion, we're on equal footing here. It's 50-50. So suffix sakana. Do I have to put myself in danger to save someone? So he says, maybe you do. You're not chayv to do it, but you have rishus to do it. But you definitely don't have rishus to put yourself in certain present danger. That's clear. Yes, it would be a violation of Hishamer Lechamaros Nafshoseichem, a violation of not protecting one's life. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Ritzayach, and a person doesn't have the right to give their life to save another life. Ein dochen nefesh b'pnei nefesh is the Rambam. We don't push away your life to be eaten by the lion to save the other guy who also could have been eaten by the lion. So then how can the Mekoshesh have been Mechal al Shabbos, violating Shabbos, and bring a chi of Misa upon himself in order to save Klal Yisrael from Chil Shabbos? That doesn't make any sense. I am certainly going to die, and they might be Mechal Shabbos. How does that make any sense? We know that the Shach writes in Yerodein, Simakufnan Zayin, and he cites the Rambam that says, we have to preserve life in all cases except for the big three, the three cardinal sins. And anyone who puts themselves in danger to keep any other mitzvah is suicide, he says. You're not allowed to put yourself in danger to keep anything besides the three cardinal sins. This is the Shita of the Ramban, the Torah Adam, the Beis Yosef, the Bach, everybody says this. You can't put your life in danger to violate anything that's not one of the three cardinal sins. Chil Shabbos is not one of the three cardinal sins. Okay, so they'll mess up, they'll figure it out. I have to die because of that and make myself turn a whole scene after the episode of the Meraglim. So perhaps we could suggest the following thing, says the Drash V'Ian, that you don't have reshus to put yourself in danger for someone else, only when it comes to the Yachid. To save one guy from the lion, I don't have the right to do that. But maybe to save the Rabbim, to save Klal Yisrael, maybe there's no Isser to enter into danger, or maybe even to give up one's life. Right? We understand. One guy, okay, I understand that. But if I'm going to save tens of hundreds of thousands of Jews, maybe I should be able to put myself in that type of danger. Perhaps it's a form of Kiddush Hashem. It's a form of Mesiras Nefesh for the sake of the Jewish people. And when the Mekoshesh saw that Klal Yisrael were falling into a terrible situation and hurting themselves spiritually, he said, I need to be Superman here. I'm going to go. I'm going to take the responsibility. I'm going to give it my life to make sure people know how severe it is to be Mechal Shabbos. This is similar to another Shach. Let's look here at the Shach in Yerodein, some Kufn and Zion in the name of the Bach. He says, even though we follow the Rambam, that you can't give up your life for the sake of a mitzvah, nevertheless, v'nira di'im hashad sricha lakach, if the moment needs it, you are allowed to go with your life, as the Rama seems to say regarding a mitzvah asay later on. Dehanemuke Yosef pasaka Rambam. The Nemuke Yosef follows the Rambam. Bavilu hachi. Kasav, he writes, Dimu adam gadol v'chassid, if you're a great and a righteous person, v'yiru shamayim, you fear heaven. V'roa shador paretz v'kach, and you see that the generation is not careful in a mitzvah. Rishai l'kadesh Hashem, you're allowed to sanctify God's name. V'lim sur atzmo, you're allowed to give up your life. Afilu mitzvah kal, even a light mitzvah. Kadesh shiru ha'am, the nation will see, v'yirah Hashem, to fear God, u'lavo b'cholibam, and to love Him with all their hearts. U'meviyu beis Yosef et darkei Moshe, and the Mechaber, the Ramah, bring this as well. So maybe in our case, what will we say? The Mekoshesh saw that the events in the Meraglim on the generation was Parutsu Mezalzel. They said, everything is lost. There's no point anymore. Everything is Hefker. Who cares? We're not making it to Eretz Yisrael. Let's just do whatever we want. And therefore, the Mekoshesh said, what's happening here? The whole world's falling apart. He said, I'm going to put myself in a situation. I will be killed to prove the point that, yes, you are still held responsible, and they will know exactly what to do. Be mekabel ol malchus shamayim. And he was moser nefesh in order to bring them back to mitzvos. So therefore, not only did he not do an aveira, but it was in fact something that was praiseworthy. It was a kiddush Hashem. Now, that only works, what? If we go according to the Medrash, that this event occurred after the Meraglim, where there was a decline in mitzvos, right? But according to the Targum, if the entire reason of the Mekoshesh to be Moser Nefesh is to teach people something, why did he do that after the episode of Har Sinai? It's not clear how that was allowed, right? It's not the Targum Yonason said it was after Mara, it was early on in the story, they knew about Shabbos, about the punishment, and therefore that's why he did it. That explanation I just said is not going to work with Targum Yonason and Raziel. It will only work, and it is a possible explanation, within the Medrash cited by Tosfos. Okay, let's look now. I didn't bring it inside, but the Maharsha. Yeah. Well, it depends. If it's a, okay, according to the Targum, yes, then why didn't he do that? According to the Medrash, it was a, sorry. According to the Targum, he wanted to teach a lesson in Shabbos. It was specifically designed to Shabbos. According to the other Medrash, that he could have eaten pork. Correct. So let's look at the Maharsha. The Maharsha really is the only major mafarsh in the Gemara to ask our question. The Maharsha and the Chedushia got us to the end, so I didn't bring it for you, but he also wonders about the Targum Yonasan. He says, how can a person give up their life in order to teach people about the penance of Hilchos Shabbos? It's a crazy thing. It doesn't make any sense. So he says as follows, and this is the Pinky was mechavin to the Maharsha. He says, since he didn't need the malacha he was doing, and it was only being done to teach the Jewish people about Chil Shabbos, it was considered a malacha she'enet sricha lagufa. He didn't do it for the purpose as it was done in the Mishkan. It was like digging a pit, but not because you need the hole, which is putra according to Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, in fact, he was technically never Mechal Shabbos. And therefore, he was only Chayv Misin Beistin, not Bidei Shemayim. But, says the Marsha, the witnesses can't know what your Kavanah is. The witnesses can't read your heart. And they can't read your intentions. And they gave him Asra, and the Mekoshesh accepted the Asra. And Beistin can only decide based on what they see. Ein L'dayin Dun Elamash Ein Avraos. He can only decide based on what his eyes see. And now it's in the heart of the person. So if so, he was never actually Mechal Shabbos. Because it was a malacha shen shlich lagufa, as intention was l'shem shemaim, to show that the mitzvos were not batal. That's what the Marasha says. So if the Mekoshesh wanted to show that after the miraglim the mitzvos were still applicable, he decided to do an aveira in order to get punished for it. And the people would see that the mitzvos are still in effect. Ah, so why did he choose this specific mitzvah l'chil Shabbos, which is Pinky's question? Now, again, according to Targum Yonos, it's not a question, since he wanted to show l'chil Shabbos in the beginning. But according to the Medrash, why did he pick Chil Shabbos? Because according to the Marasha, it makes sense. Chil Shabbos is something that wasn't really an Aveira, but there was no actual Chait. Outwardly, it would look like A, and inwardly, he knew he didn't actually do an Aveira. And if he did the Malacha, but it was only being done to teach a lesson that it was a Malacha Shein Suich Lagufa, then it was a Malacha Shein Suich Lagufa, and he was never a Chai for this on Shabbos. But at the same time, it would teach people about the punishment that comes with violating the Torah. And that was his lamdu shechap. That was the chap of the Mekoshesh. Now, this is cited lahalacha by the Ben Ish Chai in the Shuvas Torah Lishma in Siman Kuf Chakim as a hetzer for someone who does malacha on Shabbos because they're scared. Let's say you're scared of someone and you're in that moment of fear, you do a malacha. So says the Ben Ish Chai, it's a malacha shen shrich lagufa. Why? Because I'm not doing it for the malach, I'm doing it because I'm scared, I'm doing it because I don't want to get beaten up. I'm doing it because I'm afraid someone's going to, whatever, make fun of me, whatever it's going to be. I did it out of Yira. And he said, he calls that only an Isser Derabana, because you did not do it for the malach itself, you did it because of some outward force. And this is Nod Lahalacha, ironically, the truest space, Yitzhak and Arachaim and Simon Lamed Dalid, but the Hadrashian doesn't quote his grandfather there. Even though his grandfather quotes this Marasha, Rav Aaron Levine doesn't quote his grandfather there, even though he quoted him before regarding something else, I'm not sure. However, Rav Asher Weiss, Minchas Asher, Parshas Shlach, this week's Parsha, and again, Minchas Asher and Parshas Noach, so he doesn't understand the Maharsha. He's not talking about our sugya in particular, but he does not agree with the Maharsha. He says he finds the definition of the Maharsha problematic. He says, the meaning of malacha ein tzrich lagufa, that you did the malacha not for the way it was done in the Mishkan, cannot be that it depends on what personal benefit you get from it. That doesn't make any sense. He says, rather, it's about the tachlis of the malacha. Did you do the malacha in the way as it was done in the Mishkan? Not the siba, not the reason I'm doing the malacha. Who cares the reason I'm doing the malacha? But if I did it in the way that it was done in the Mishkan, it's still a malacha tzrich lagufa. He says, if it's done in the normal way that people do it, but it's done for other people, other reasons, why is it not still malacha shetzrich lagufa, says Rav Asher Weiss. He says, would it be a malacha shetzrich lagufa if I did a malacha because I loved you or I was scared of you? He says, he finds the whole thing ridiculous. Of course it would be, still malacha. And therefore he questions the premise of the Maharsha and to this point. But nevertheless, comes Rav Aaron Levine in the Drash Ve'ian, and he says that the Maharsha is not so simple. And this is really the twist. What's not so simple about the Maharsha? He says the logic makes sense if the Beis Din that judged him was a regular Beis Din that used their own judgment. And they would have said, he's Chayav Misa, based on what they saw. Because they couldn't have known his intentions, right? And they had to go based on what his actions were. That his, even if his Kavanah was L'shem Shemayim. But who sentenced the Mekoshesh to death? What? Hashem. Hashem sentenced the Mekoshesh to death, says Aaron Levine. The Mekoshesh was sentenced to death by a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe asked Hashem what to do. And Hashem said, Mosu Masaish, Raga Moso Be'avanim Alekol Eida. Kill the guy and stone him to death. Now, if Hashem knew what the Mekoshesh was thinking, because he knew it was a Melech HaShesvich Lagufa, then what's the Marasha talking about? He shouldn't have been killed. If it was such a good chap, if it was such a good lamda shechap, then the guy should have been set free. If the actions of the Mekoshesh were l'shem shemayim, and he did a malacha shen tzrich lagufa, why did Hashem sentence him to death?
And he leaves as a tzarach yin. He died. How did, the whole problem is circular. We can't get out of it. If he did the right thing, then he should have been killed. And if he did the wrong thing, then how could he have done the wrong thing in the first place? Now, the Drash Bein is not the only person who makes this point. Rav Chanan Wasserman. Rav Chanan Wasserman makes this point in a very, very short piece in the Kovid Shurim Bava Basra. Interestingly, they both lived at the same time. And they both came up with the same chiddush. They definitely did not read each other's works. But sometimes you have that. Sometimes you have in halacha that in the same generation, two Gedol Yisrael didn't know or see the other person, and they both have the same idea, the same question. There's a story that's brought in the Yalkum Amloes, I forgot which parsha, about the Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef was in his yeshiva struggling over sugi and svas, and he went to sleep one night and he couldn't chap it, and he had a dream. And in the dream, he figured out what the question was, and he came to yeshiva the next morning, and a young man in the yeshiva said, oh, before we start, I think I have an answer to the question. And the young man had the answer to the question. So the Beis Yosef was blown away. He didn't understand. Like, I figured this out in my sleep. This guy had it happen at the same time. So I think either this was his idea or somebody told the Beis Yosef, when an idea is revealed into this world, so then the floodgates are open, and then it's open for anybody to take it. Meaning once that piece of Torah comes into the world, then it's accessible for anybody to go. So ironically, in the same generation, literally the same lifetime, they were both killed in the Holocaust. They both knew each other. They both came to the same question. So Rav Chanan Wasserman asked this very question as well. And because of this, he suggests another reason for the actions of the Mekosher. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Haim in Simon Shin Vav Sif Yudal. The Shulchan Aruch says, Mi Shusholcholo Shotziu Bitomi Beisu B'Shabbos Lotziu Miklal Yisrael. If somebody lets you know that your daughter was taken to be, you know, kidnapped, so to speak, that they were going to convert her forcibly. Now, they weren't going to kill her. There was no issue of death. They were just going to convert her or take her to a missionary or something. They were going to take her away from Yiddishkeit. Mitzvah l'shum derech pa'amav l'shtadel b'hatzalasa. There's a mitzvah to get going, and to go get her and to save her. You can leave the tchum, anything necessary. Below by basin goes around, and he won't do it because he's scared of Shabbos, then basin makes him do it. That's halacha in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah writes over there, midei d'havia pikuach nefesh. It's pikuach nefesh shemechalan al katan that we're violating for this child. Domrim chilul alav Shabbos echad kedei sheyishmor Shabbosos harbe. Hachinami kein. Would we not say in a case of pikuach nefesh that I should violate one Shabbos for this person, that they're able to keep many Shabbosos, many Shabboses going forward? That's the Gemara in the end of Maseches Yuma of why you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos in the case of pikuach nefesh. So says the Mishnah Berurah, says the Magen Avraham, the same thing should apply here as well. If someone is going to off the path, and I can be mechala one Shabbos here, and I know that we'll save them to keep many more Shabboses in the future, then it should be allowed. Now, certainly that needs to be taken very, very seriously. This is not a hetzer to be thrown around to mechala Shabbos, but this is what the Shulchan Aruch says. So Rav Chanan Wasserman takes this to the logical conclusion. He says, this was the case where people were making mistakes in Michal Shabbos. It was necessary to do so in order to save them. The only issue is why the Mekoshes, again, was killed. If the Shulchan Aruch says it's mutter to Michal Shabbos to make sure other people can keep many more Shabboses, then the question comes back to the beginning, why was he killed? So the Chanan Wasserman asks the question, try to answer it up, but it comes back to the same point. So we're left here at the end of this discussion. Like I said, we'd be left with more questions than answers. We're left here at the end of the discussion is that how do we understand Chazal's approach? Again, Pashup Shalom Sukkim, the guy was Michal Shabbos, he did something wrong, he was killed. It's very simple. But according to Chazal, what's going on here? What did they see in the sugya to say that he was trying to do something for a greater reason, a higher, something more, exalted? What was his goal? We're still left very unclear what his goals were. And if his goals were for the right reasons, then according to the Drash Bein and according to Rav Chanan, why was he killed? And we're left here with a big tzarachian. I'll just raise one more tzarachian. There's a very, very striking piece of the Baal HaTorah in Parshas Chayisar. He wants to know how come the chaf of the Liv Kasa is small. So the Baal HaTorah says, Kaf Katana Shlo Bacha El Ma'at. He only cried a little bit, Lefi Shizakena Haisa, because she was much older, and it wasn't as sad since she was a much older woman. Inami, says the Baal HaTorah, and he's saying this, not me. He says, Shahaisa kamo goremes misasa shemasra din.
Sari Menu, so to speak, let her neshama leave her body, and it was almost that she was ma'avid asal adas. She almost gave up her life. And because it was ka'ain, some sort in her level, like to say a suicide, therefore Avram refrained in his hesped. Ein masvidim oso. He did not give the full hesped. That obviously requires a lot more investigation as well. I would say to look in the comments of the Pius Netzer Rebbe, in the Eish Kodesh, in Parshas Chayesari, he discusses this approach as well, about how could they do such a thing if it was so terrible, even though it might serve a message as well. And somehow it speaks to this idea as well, and causes us to think a little bit more about what the motives of the Mekoshes were, and how Chazal understood it. Okay.